Friend, if you find yourself in a hard season where life feels overwhelming and you're experiencing weariness, and maybe even you find yourself praying, God, why are you allowing this all the time? All at once, I don't feel I can do this anymore prayers. If that's the kind of prayers you're praying, today is for you. And I know it was for me. So Melissa, thank you for meeting us in that place today. I know your teaching spoke to my heart right where I am. Not only meeting me there, but also ensuring me that I'm not alone and encouraging me with my Father's words and the word. So let's dive in because you have so much good wisdom to share with us.
Well, I love this week. We were in First Chronicles chapters 10 through 18. And so I titled kind of a recap of that for me with three words, turn, turn, turn. So I guess really one word said three times. But I remember a song growing up that went, turn, 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 there is a season. And it released way back in 1965, originally recorded by a band called The Byrds. But the majority of the lyrics come straight out of Ecclesiastes 3, where the author mentioned everything having a season. So the turn is the turning of the seasons, a time for everything under heaven. And our study through First Chronicles is titled Turning to the King Who Never Turns Away. And this week we covered First Chronicles 10 to 18, where together we read about David's early years as king. And he was an earthly king. He is not the king who never turns away. In fact, as we continue our study together, we'll encounter many moments where David did turn away from the Lord. So instead, we're not turning to King David, we're turning to Jesus. He is the king foretold in the Old Testament who would come in the line of David, whose kingdom will last forever. Now, I don't know where your heart has been lately, but between some physical health issues, some job changes for my husband, the problems of adult children, and caring for my aging mom, I've been weary. And maybe right now you feel spiritually energized and refreshed. And if that's the case, my heart celebrates with you. And here's what I would encourage you to do. Just tuck these turning lessons into your heart and mind for a day in the future when you'll need them. Because life has a way of turning from weary to refreshed and from refreshed to weary. So today we're going to look at three turns that David made in his life that led to his flourishing. And here's my prayer for all of us today, just that it will motivate us, particularly if life is weighty right now, to keep turning toward the King who never turns away from us. So are you ready to see how David made some turns so that we might turn, turn, turn toward God in our own lives? I sure hope so. I know I am. Our first turn was a turn toward inquiry. See, Saul, King Saul, had failed to inquire of the Lord. We read those words in 1 Chronicles 10, verse 14. Instead, he sought a medium and just did what seemed best to him. He failed to seek guidance from the Lord. And in sharp contrast, we read that David inquired of the Lord, and not just once. I want us to review from the scriptures just a couple of examples. We're going to read 1 Chronicles 14, 8 to 17. And I'd love for you to just listen for the phrase, inquired of the Lord. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and had made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up, and I will give them into your hand." And he went up to Baal Perazim, and David struck them down there. And David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a bursting flood." Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. And they left their gods there, and David gave command, and they were burned. And the Philistines yet again made a raid in the valley. And when David again inquired of the Lord, of God, God said to him, "You shall not go up after them. Go around and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And David did as God commanded him. And they struck down the Philistine army from Gibeon to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. All right, so I hope you've heard it in there twice, that the directions were different. That's why David had to inquire of the Lord. And inquired is the Hebrew word sha'al. It means to ask, inquire, borrow, beg. It reminds me of the story that Jesus told of a neighbor knocking on a door with shameless persistence as a model of us knocking, asking, and seeking the Father. That's from Luke chapter 11. And the Father wants to give us good gifts, including the gift of guidance. And we may not have a physical army, enemy, like the army of the Philistines, but we all need direction. We face so many decisions each and every day. Recently, for me, I needed to inquire of the Lord to know where I need boundaries in a relationship, where too much media has been affecting me negatively, where to make some cuts in my budget, and how to manage my time. Often I process these questions with friends. Other times I use Google. Too many times I just trust my own judgment. But I don't want to be so caught up in human solutions that I fail to inquire of the Lord. And here's what I know about inquiry, that sha'al word we talked about, asking, inquiring, borrowing, begging. It takes time. It takes quiet, listening. It means going to the scriptures, seeking godly counsel. Sometimes answers come quickly, as they did for David. Other times it can take days, months, even years to know which way to go. So I'm wondering for you, what questions do you have right now? Where do you need guidance with your time? Maybe in your relationships or with your money? Are you inquiring of the Lord with these things? From David, we learn to turn away from self-reliance and worldly wisdom. I'm not saying Google doesn't have any answers, but to live a wholehearted life for God, we want to continually inquire of Him. His Spirit lives within us and leads us. In His farewell discourse, Jesus told us this: when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. That's from John 16:13. The Spirit of truth guides us into all truth, but we must seek Him. When David turned toward inquiry, the Lord revealed Himself as a God who bursts through human enemies. I love that. Our God is a burster. He will burst through our enemies, but He asks us to turn to Him and inquire of Him for guidance. All right, now let's look at another turn we learn from David. And this is to turn toward worship. When I feel weary, often the last thing I feel like doing is worship. I mostly want to distract myself with food, media, or friends. Yet David showed us the power that comes with worship. When he brought the Ark of the Lord back into the tabernacle, David sang a song of worship. I want to read just a few of the verses of his song. We'll read a portion from the beginning and a portion from the end. So let's begin with 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 to 12. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. We're going to skip down now to 1 Chronicles, still in chapter 16, but to verses 34 to 36 to read the ending of this song that David sang. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations. that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. When we turn toward worship, we are turning toward the Lord to assign worth to the one who is worthy. We can follow David's pattern of singing, whether we have a voice that sounds good or not. I definitely am in the or not category. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 100 to make a joyful noise. David wrote 75 of the 150 psalms. That is half. In the text, it actually reveals that he wrote 73 of them, and the New Testament ascribes two other ones to him, so making it a total of 75, half of the psalms, because David was a worshiper, and worship revives our perspective when life feels dry. Worship requires us to turn from ourselves and turn toward God. We have to take our eyes off our problems and fix them on the person who rules heaven and earth. And I know for me, and I pray for you, that worship would give perspective in your pain. Now, we can lament. Many of the Psalms are expressly written in the format of lament, where we pour out our pain to the Lord. But I'll admit that I like to wallow and complain. Rather than that, we can bring our pain to the Lord and ultimately thank Him for the spiritual blessings that come even in the midst of hard times. See, David didn't have a pain-free, easy life. He struggled through many difficult situations, yet he worshiped God, not always for just prosperity, but for His peace, His presence, His purpose. And worship requires humility. We have to see God for who He is, and then we'll see ourselves for who we are. I want to read one more portion from your reading this week, because David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 17, verses 16 to 20, just is David expressing his gratitude for all of God's promises and gifts, even before these promises and gifts were fully realized. It says, Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And this was a small thing in your eyes, O God. You have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come and have shown me future generations. O Lord God, and what more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant. For your servant's sake, O Lord, and according to your heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these great things. There is none like you, O Lord. There is no God besides you, according to all we have heard with our ears. When things are going well in our circumstances, we can be tempted to turn toward pride for all of our accomplishments. But David worshiped. He recognized the Lord as the source of every blessing. So for you and me today, what would you need to turn your heart's attention away from in order to turn toward wholehearted worship today? What are some patterns or practices that encourage worship in your life? I know for me, when I listen to worship music, other times when I'm reading scripture, or just writing in my journal, or just really, even today, I was just sitting in the quiet and just thinking of all the things God has done for me, I find myself turning toward the Lord in worship. I pray that today you'll sit with these questions as you inquire of the Lord, our first turn, how you can turn toward worship in your life, which is our second turn. Now let's move to our last turn. And this is a turn toward obedience. I love that David made this turn when it wasn't easy to do. We all love to talk about obedience when it's easy, but David did it when it was hard. When we understand God's ways, it can be easier to obey. But when the Lord seems harsh or silent or confusing, that is when it can be the most difficult to turn away from what seems what right to us and to conform to God's instructions just because they're God's instructions. In chapter 13, we read that when David originally attempted to bring the Ark of the Lord home to Jerusalem, a man named Uzzah had reached out a hand to steady it and died as a result. The text tells us that this angered David. But ultimately, just a couple chapters later in chapter 15, he did bring the ark back. And this time, he knew he needed to do it God's way. I want to read 1 Chronicles 15, verses 2 to 14. Then David said that no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, for the Lord had chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister to him forever. As David assembled all Israel at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it, and David gathered together the sons of Aaron and the Levites, of the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief, with 120 of his brothers, of the sons of Merari, Isaiah the chief, with 220 of his brothers, of the sons of Gershom, Joel the chief, with 130 of his brothers, and of the sons of Elizaphan, Shemaiah the chief, with 200 of his brothers, and the sons of Hebron, Eliel the chief, with 80 of his brothers, of the sons of Uzziel, Aminadab, the chief, with 112 of his brothers. Then David summoned the priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and the Levites, Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, and said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Consecrate yourselves, you and your brothers, so that you may bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place that I have prepared for it. Because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rule." So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. It had seemed harsh to David, and perhaps it seems harsh to you, that Uzzah died for steadying the ark. But ultimately, David learned to do it God's way. He sought God, and he was careful to completely obey in moving the ark. I wanted to read that much of it to go, this wasn't a small feat. He had to organize a lot of people. How many times did it say, and 120, and this many people, and this many people? And he was very careful to obey completely. And so what he did is he turned away from his anger, and he turned toward obedience. I know that I've struggled with anger lately, over some things I mentioned earlier, just making me feel weary. And I feel this tension of turning. I am so tempted on the day-to-day to turn toward bitterness, resentment, and continual disappointment. But instead, I can surrender to God's way. So for me, obedience looks like acceptance, forgiveness, and boundaries. How would you fill in those blanks? Obedience for me looks like what? What might turning toward obedience look like in your life today? I'd love it for you to take a moment at some point this weekend to sit with Jesus and ask him to turn your heart toward his. See, God's promises were not just to David, but to his people as a whole. 1 Chronicles 17, 13 to 15, the prophet Nathan in his prophecies for David's future included hints of the Messiah. These are those verses. It says, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I will not take my steadfast love from him as I took it from you who was before you, but I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Now, as we think about these verses, the throne being established forever came not through David. The kingdom divided just two generations later, and ultimately both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah were carried away into exile by the nations of Assyria and Babylon, respectively. The kingdom seemed to stop, but the throne is forever established through the Messiah, Jesus, who rules forever. He came to earth being born in the biological line of David. So we want to turn away from sin and toward the Lord. And we do this as we turn toward inquiry, asking God for guidance, worship. We recognize God for who he is and ascribe him the honor he is due as creator and sustainer and redeemer of all things. Also, obedience, not for his love, but from his love. We choose to live according to God's commands rather than doing what is right in our own eyes. So as we close together today, just want to leave you with this question. Where is the Lord calling you to turn towards Him today?
Melissa, wow. Thank you for such a rich teaching, truly on how to continually turn back to God when we're walking through a hard season. When it feels like, for to me, the way I feel like every area of life feels unsettled. And maybe that leads you to feeling distant from God because you can't understand what He's doing. You can't understand why all these things are happening all at once. And it just feels like there's no rest. There's no peace. And I just can't think of a better way to close than the way David often did with the Lord, and that's to close in prayer. So, Father, today for many, we come to You feeling overwhelmed, even powerless and weak at times, as if we can't breathe and like we can't take that next step. And we really just want to curl up and hide from all the responsibilities and all the people who need us, and we just want to rest. Thank You for reminding us through Your word today and through Melissa's testimony and teaching, You are the commander of heaven's armies, the one who rescued David and Your people over and over again. Lord, You haven't changed. You do the same for us today. We are Your beloved children. That is who we are, just like David was. And in our weakness, You are strong. In our fear, You make us brave. In our anxiety, You are our peace. In our sadness, You are joy. And in our despair, You are hope. So today, help us remember Your faithfulness. The last time, like David, the last time You walked us through a hard place. And in Your wisdom, will You use those places to mold and prune and train us this time? And though it doesn't always feel good, walking with You through those times, it builds our dependence upon You. You draw us closer to You and You use it for our good and for Your glory. So Lord, this week, keep David's story ever before us. We want to trust You here again because we know You are always there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.